Now, the story of Samson, beginning in Judges chapter 13. I thought, well, you know, I'm just going to kind of survey a little bit of Samson's life, because the story of Samson is one of the most glaring examples in the Scripture that the salvation of sinners is totally 100% by grace, not conditioned on us, but conditioned on Christ alone. Because if you look at Samson, you know, God saves us, his chosen people, from our sins in spite of those. When I say in spite of those sins, I'm not saying that God doesn't take care of the matter of sin. He does. I love that psalm. I didn't cite it here, but where it says, "The Lord hath not dealt with us after our sins." And what that shows is this. It doesn't say the Lord hath not dealt with our sins, because he did deal with our sins on the cross as they were imputed to Christ, and Christ died for those sins and put away those sins and established justice, righteousness for us. So he dealt with our sins in Christ, but he didn't deal with us after our sins in an eternal way. Sometimes the Lord, according to his sovereign will, deals with us after our sins in a temporal way. Samson's a good example of that. We're going to talk about the consequences of sin. Now, we can't say that whenever, even as believers, if we make bad choices, sinful choices, like Samson did, like men like David did, or like Lot did, and we do that, we can't say that we always suffer even temporal consequences, but sometimes we do. But thank God we don't suffer the eternal consequences of sin. That's eternal death and damnation. But Samson, he's a contradiction. There used to be a song I sang about a guy who said he's a walking contradiction, partly truth and partly fiction. And that's the way Samson was. He's listed along with Gideon and others of the judges in Hebrews 11 in the Hall of Faith. And the beginning of his life was a miracle birth. That's what you'll find in Judges 13. And that we'll see, that's one way he's a type of Christ. Samson's mother was barren. She couldn't have children. But the angel of the Lord, Christ himself, came down and told her, says, you're going to have a child. And he's going to be dedicated to the Lord. He's going to take a Nazarite vow. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But here's the point. Our whole salvation, all the way from the new birth to final glory, is all of the Lord and all conditioned on him. And at no time, not even one second of our lives, can we say, now it's up to me to keep this thing going. Now, I'm going to talk about that in the main message when I talk about the call to persevere. The Bible says we're to persevere in the faith. We're to continue. We're to set our minds and our hearts to continue in the faith. But the only way we can do that is by the power and goodness and grace of God in Christ, who preserves us. And sometimes we'll be up, sometimes we'll be down. But here, when you look at Samson, as I said, we can see in his life that God saves people who don't deserve salvation. Samson didn't deserve it. But now here's the thing we ought to think of. Neither do I deserve it. I ought to see this fact of salvation by grace, based upon the righteousness of Christ, I ought to see that just as glaringly in myself as I do when I read about Samson and all the things he did wrong. That to me, that's what the Lord shows us, that I'm no different in the essence of my person and what I deserve. I'm no different than Samson. Now, there's a lot of things Samson did that I haven't done and I hope I never do. But I'm no more deserving of the salvation and the blessings and the benefits of it than Samson. Because I'm a sinner saved by grace. And that's why we ought to thank God every day that we're blessed. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. If God charged us with our sins, where would we be? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. I see that in myself just as much I see it when I read these verses here, these chapters here in Judges about this man Samson. Now chapter 13 records Samson's birth. And then it goes on in chapter 14, 15, 16. It records his life as a judge. He was a judge in Israel. This is the time of the judges. And remember, these judges now, they weren't law court judges. They were mighty people, men, and there was one woman, Deborah. And they were heroes, deliverers to help Israel through this period of time. And then lastly, it records Samson's tragic death, but also it's a triumphant death. And it's hard to see it that way, but that's what it is. It's very tragic, but it was also triumphant. And so we see his great feats of strength when the Spirit of God came upon him. And in this sense, now every true believer, I believe even in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit resides within every true believer. I don't believe that's a New Testament phenomenon. I believe it was Old Testament, New Testament, they're born again. But for specific purposes, for God to act in this world amongst his people, there were special powers and presences of the Holy Spirit that would come and go. And so you're going to see times in here when Samson, when he acted, when the Spirit of God came upon him. Now, it's not that the Spirit of God was not in him as a believer. You know, the reason we have such a warfare within ourselves is because of the warfare of the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, against our flesh. And the Holy Spirit has given us a spirit, that means spiritual life, within. And we have a fight with him. But the reason that flesh, our flesh, which is our sinful human nature, doesn't overtake us is because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I think about that verse in 1 John chapter 3 when it talks about a believer, one who's born of God cannot sin, meaning he cannot apostatize, he cannot totally leave Christ because he's born of God. We have the Spirit of life. We have the third person of the Trinity residing in us. But now there were times that the Spirit would descend on these men and women in the Old Testament and give them special powers, like Samson's strength. You know, whenever you think of Samson, you think of a strong man, don't you? Somebody who killed a lion, who took the jawbone of a donkey and killed 1,000 Philistines. All that's there. And then there were times that the Spirit of God left him on his own. And he made such bad choices. So when we see that, we're going to see his great feats of triumph when the Spirit of God was with him. And then we're going to see his great acts of sin and weaknesses when the Spirit of God left him. And when he suffered, Samson, he was a womanizer. He was a vengeful man. All of that. And we see how sin has its consequences sometimes, even in God's people, because Samson suffered greatly. With all the great things that God enabled him to do, he suffered greatly. And most of you know the story, even from children's Bible stories about Samson. But that could be a reminder to us all that even though, thank God, we don't suffer even the temporal consequences of all our sins, sometimes we do. Sometimes we make bad choices and it comes home to roost, as they say. And the Lord preserves us through all that, like he preserved Samson. Samson was saved by the grace of God. Now the death of, here's Samson, I've gotten your lesson. He had great victories against the Philistines. Now that was the foreign invader, the foreign nation that was bothering Israel at this time, the Philistines. And you remember Goliath was a Philistine, you know, later on. And it said, but ultimately, Samson, with all the great feats of strength, he was brought down by an idolatrous Philistine woman. You know who she is, Delilah. We always hear that, Samson and Delilah. Had his hair cut. Incidentally, his strength didn't lie in his hair. That was just a symbol of where his strength lied, was, which was in that Nazarite vow to where he was dedicated to the Lord. And then, whereas before Samson defeated multitudes of Philistines, when he stood at the fight, he was unaware later on that the Lord had departed from him, the Holy Spirit. And he was captured by the Philistines. They gouged out his eyes. You know the story. And how he prayed to God, give me just one more time that I can avenge myself and avenge the Lord God. And how they put him in the temple of Dagon. That was their god. Samson was brought to the temple of Dagon so that the Philistines could make fun of him and publicly ridicule him and say, look what we've done. Look what our god Dagon has done. And you remember the story how Samson, they put him between those two pillars in the house of the idol. And he prayed to the Lord. We'll look at that in just a moment. And he brought that house down on himself, as well as about 3,000 Philistines. So let's look at that. So when you see all these things, when you see all the sins and the failings and the weaknesses of Samson, you might ask the question, how in the world can this guy be a type of Christ who never sinned? Christ never sinned. The perfect God-man, that's who Christ is. He was the impeccable God-man. He never had he had some weaknesses in the flesh, because the Bible says Christ as man, he's God in human flesh without sin, and he had the infirmities of the flesh, the weaknesses of a created being, which was not referring to his deity now, but to his humanity. And you remember how he got hungry, he wept, he suffered pain and agony, all of that, but without sin. And he didn't deserve what he got, except only in the sense of our sins imputed to him. So here's Christ, the God-man, the Messiah, the mighty deliverer, who's a perfect God-man. And the only way he was made sin was by the imputation of our sins to him. How in the world could this Samson typify him? Well, let me give you several ways here. We'll look at them. Number one, Samson typified Christ in his miraculous birth. And that's in Judges 13. This is the story of Samson. Look at verse 1. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. We're always, that's a common description of Israel, isn't it? That's a good picture of us by nature. The children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. They do it again and again and again and again and again, don't they? We're going to see that when we get to the book of Ruth, how the book of Judges closes. Said everybody did what was right in their own eyes. Sounds like our day, doesn't it? And then the book of Ruth opens where they're under judgment. And there's a famine in the land. And it said, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. Could you imagine that? And there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites, that's the tribe of Dan, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. That's a pre-incarnate visitation of Christ. You can read on in the chapter. And he revealed to Samson's mother that she was going to have that miraculous birth. So she also says, look here at verse 4. He says, now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. He's going to take the Nazarite vow. You can read about that back in the book of Numbers and several other places. But what that was, it was a special dedication of a person unto the Lord, in which they would separate themselves from the rest of their peers, and they would live totally for the glory of God. And one of those things, they wouldn't cut their hair, they wouldn't drink wine, they wouldn't eat any unclean thing. But here's the point. Samson was a type of Christ because his birth was a miracle of God. And so it was in the case of our Savior. God sent an angel to reveal to Mary, who was a virgin, that she would conceive and bear a son, and he would be the Savior of sinners. Read about it in Luke chapter 1. Christ's conception and his birth were miracles as he was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the virgin. He's God and man in one person. And that's an amazing thing. That what the old theologians used to call the hypostatic union. You know what they meant by that? It was simply this. That when God the Son was united to his sinless humanity, there was no mixture or mingling of his deity and his humanity. And the reason that is, you can't mix deity and humanity. I hear these people talking about how when they're born again, I heard several people talk about how, well, God creates within us a perfect divine nature that cannot sin and cannot be contaminated. Well, you can't, first of all, you can't create a divine nature. Anything that's by nature divine cannot be created. Because if that nature is divine, it has no beginning and no end. That's the nature of deity. And when you're born again, God doesn't make you a little God or some kind of a lesser God. See? And so when Christ in his deity was united to his humanity, there was no intermingling or mixture of the two, but there was a union of the two. We can put it in feeble human terms. We might say side by side. I don't know. But he's very much God and he's very much man. There was no intermingling or mixture of the two. That's the person of Christ, and it's a miracle. It's an amazing miracle. And we cannot explain it all. And that's okay, isn't it? Isn't it okay with you if you can't explain everything about God? What we can explain is what God reveals to us. And so Samson was a type of Christ in that miracle birth. That's chapter 13. Well, here's the second thing. Samson typified Christ in this. The people he would deliver were sinful and depraved. Look over at chapter 13. In verse 1 it says again, the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. These weren't people who deserved the goodness of God. Isn't that right? These weren't people who had earned it. These were people who deserved nothing but hell. And that's what we are. If we're going to talk about what I've earned and what I deserve, then we better just talk about damnation. And that's it. Because salvation is by grace. But God was good to these people out of his mercy because he had a purpose for them. And that was to bring the Messiah through this nation. But Samson was their deliverer. And God sent him a deliverer. And he continually does that throughout their existence of that 1,500 year period of the old covenant. He kept them together. Now they were punished. Sometimes they were scattered. Sometimes they were put in captivity under other nations. But God still managed in his sovereign will and providence and power to keep them together until the appointed time. And especially you'll notice that in the tribe of Judah. Remember when the nation Israel was split after Solomon? 10 tribes went to the north, and then Judah and Benjamin went to the south. And God kept even Benjamin and the 10 tribes to the north, they were captured and scattered by the Assyrian army. Isaiah talks about that. And then in the south, later on, when Jeremiah was prophet, at the end of his prophecy, they were captured by Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. But God still kept that tribe of Judah together because that's the tribe from whom Christ was coming. So God works in his promise, providence. But Samson is a type of Christ in that the ones he would deliver were sinful people. Now, Samson was a sinner too. He didn't typify Christ that way. Samson personally didn't typify, but as a deliverer, he was a type of Christ. Well, Christ came into the world to save who? Sinners, of whom we are chief. He came to call sinners to repentance. He told the Pharisees there. He said, the whole need not a physician. I didn't come here to save a righteous. The righteous don't need me. You see, if you can be righteous in yourself, you don't need Christ. That's the truth. He said, I came to call sinners to repentance. And that's in our sin and our depravity and our spiritual death, we've all, just like in Samson's day, they later on they turned against him. Look over at chapter 15. This gets into Samson's life as a judge. But look down at verse 9. Chapter 15. It says, then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, why are you come up against us? And they answered, to bind Samson. The Philistines were coming to bind Samson. Are we come up to do to him as he have done to us? We want vengeance on Samson because, you know, he'd already killed many of the Philistines. Verse 11 says, then 3,000 men of Judah. Now this is 3,000 of Samson's brethren in the flesh. Went to the top of the rock Edom and said to Samson, knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us? And he said unto them, as they did unto me, so have I done unto them. And they said, look at verse 12, they said unto him, we're come down to bind thee that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines. They turned against Samson. They're going to give him over to the Philistines. He was their deliverer. He was the only hope they had against the Philistines. And now they've turned against him. And Samson said unto them, swear unto me that you will not fall upon me, you yourselves. And verse 13 says, they spake not unto him, saying, no, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into their hands, but surely we will not kill thee. And they bound him with two new cords and brought him up from the rock. They handed him over to the Philistines. Well, he's a type of Christ there. Because isn't that what we did to the Lord Jesus, our Savior? In that which is pictured in humanity turning against Christ. Remember Acts chapter 4? How the kings of the earth, the Jews and the Gentiles, all turned against God's holy child, Jesus. That's by nature, what were we? Enemies of God. Alienated in our minds by wicked works. And what did he do for us? He delivered us from the kingdom of darkness, which we were members of by nature in our state, natural state, into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So just like these people turned against their deliverer, that's what we do by nature. And that's why if anything else shows us that we do not deserve salvation, doesn't that? The very one who was sent to deliver God's elect. And God's elect by nature are no different than the children of wrath. That's what Ephesians 2, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, who walked according to the prince of the power of the air. That's us. And so, but God, in mercy, wherewith his great love, wherewith he loved us. What kind of love is that? That's unconditional love. What kind of love is it? That's love that accomplishes the salvation of his people. You see, that's what happened. And so we turned against him, but by the power of his cross death and the power of the Spirit, God has delivered us through Christ into the kingdom of his dear Son. All right, here's the third thing. Samson typified Christ as like Christ. He was separated unto God. Now that's that Nazarite vow. And that's what the angel told Samson's mother. No razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. That's his separation. God separated him out from his nation to be that deliverer. And these were all signatures and signs the long hair, the total abstinence, and all of that. Well, Christ was separated out too. He was a Nazarene, and God the Father set him apart. But you know, we look at this, and somebody says, well, that means he couldn't drink wine either. No, he did drink wine. He made wine. And the Bible does, the reason that Samson was not to drink any strong drink is because Samson apparently couldn't handle it. And that's why God separated him out. And it was common in these idolatrous practices that the Hebrew people, the Israelites, allowed and were engaged in, that drunkenness was a part of it. And that is sinful. So Samson was separated out from that. Well, our Lord was separated in other ways. Number one is person. God and man in one person. Number two, his sinlessness. He knew no sin. He did no sin. But he was separated out from the crowd when he was set to die. I think it's in Isaiah. I didn't cite that in your lesson. But it talks about how he walked the wine press alone. No, everybody forsook him. He was separated out. You see, it was by one offering. By one offering, Christ hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He didn't have any help. Now, the Spirit was with him. I'll talk to you about that in just a moment. The Holy Spirit was with him. But as far as his disciples, they ran. And they hid. Peter denied him three times. But here's another thought on that. God the Father set his Son apart before the foundation of the world to be the surety and the Savior of his people. That's why Paul talked about salvation that was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. That's amazing, isn't it? Well, here's the fourth thing. Samson typified Christ when he defeated the enemies of Israel. He acted in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord began to move Samson. The Spirit of the Lord came mighty upon him. Several times through these chapters, it talks about that, these verses. And that was the same of Christ. The Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit descended upon him. You remember that? When he was at his baptism, the Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove, and the Father spoke from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." The Bible speaks of Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost, led by the Spirit. He had the Spirit without measure. He returned in the power of the Spirit. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." So he had the full measure of the Holy Spirit. Now, Samson, the Spirit came and went, but not on Christ. And then fifthly, Samson typified Christ as he was mighty to overcome his enemies. Samson was a strong man. But even as strong as he was, the feats that he accomplished in defeating the Philistines had to be of the Lord. I mean, you think about it. Over there in chapter 15, look at verse 15. It says, "And he found a new jawbone of an ass and put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith." The only weapon he had was an old dead donkey. He got the jawbone and slew 1,000 people. Now, strong as Samson was, that had to be of the Lord, right? There was no doubt that this deliverance and this defeat of the Philistines was of God. And that's the way our salvation is. It's all of God. But Christ, think about it this way. Samson took a dead bone and slew 1,000. Christ hanged upon a dead piece of wood, a cross, and he slew all of the enemies of his people. He slew sin, Satan, the curse of the law, and he provided every means to bring us unto himself. That's what he did by one offering again. He's the mighty conqueror. He's the mighty deliverer. And he overcome all of our enemies. The flesh, he's overcome it. The world, he said, "Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." And our sins, which are so much against us, cannot be charged to us because he took them to the cross and shed his blood as the full payment of all our sins. And so what do we have? We have righteousness imputed to us. And therefore, we cannot be defeated. Here's the sixth thing. Samson typified Christ as he was mocked and abused by his enemies and his own people. Now, this may be the same as number two, but I think I wanted to mark this out because Christ, when he was put on trial, he was mocked, he was derided, he was whipped, he was falsely accused. They put a crown of thorns on his head, and we took him to the cross. And that's a specific thing. Samson had to undergo that too. His people mocked him. And certainly the Philistines mocked him when they put him in the house of Dagon and they brought him out publicly and they were talking about, look at what our God's done to their deliverer. And I think about Christ hanging on that cross. Here's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. That's who he is, despised, rejected of men. And yet in that death, he conquered all his enemies. That brings us to the last one. Samson typified Christ as he destroyed more enemies by his death than he ever did in his life. Look over it, Judges 16. And you can read all this whole story. It's just interesting. Here's Samson, brought out to be publicly ridiculed. As they're praising their idol, Dagon, Samson, they cut his hair, they gouged his eyes out, and they put him to work in prison. He was grinding out grain in prison. That's what he was doing. And then they put him out there, and then look at Judges 16, look at verse 30. Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." When I read that, I thought about us. By nature, what are we? Philistines. We've always been God's elect, God's people. But as we're born into this world, into that sinful state, we're no better off than the Philistines. And it says, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Some say about 3,000 Philistines died there. But Samson died with them. And that reminds me of Christ, who died and slew all of our enemies. And we died with him as our deliverer. When he died, we died. When he was buried, we were buried. When he arose again, we arose again. So by his death, has been the death of death, as old John Owen used to say. The death of death and the death of Christ. What an enemy. He's robbed, 1 Corinthians 15, Christ has robbed death of its sting. He's robbed the grave of its terrors. He's robbed sin of its power to condemn. And Satan, his authority. Any authority Satan had is gone over his people. And so as Samson was a mighty deliverer of his people in a limited way, Christ is the mighty deliverer of his people in an eternal way. And that's how Samson typifies Christ. Okay.